Oh, God is good. You know, the Lord gave us life today, another day. You know, we can't go back and redeem what's in the past, but we can set a new course for the future. Amen. And today is a new day, a new beginning. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday or even on the way to church today. Come on, right? It's a new beginning, a new day. We got to live forward. Amen. Living forward in the will of God for our lives. And God has given us an opportunity to partner with Him and be a part of what He's doing in the earth. And we get to do this, as we say. And, you know, it's important that we understand who we are in the Lord, who He is in us. And if we don't know who we are as Christians, then we won't be the influence we should be in this world. And that is the biggest problem, is an identity crisis, even in the church. With all kinds of ideas and all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of philosophies that have infiltrated in, and even doctrines of men, you know, and human wisdom, human understanding. You know, God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes we think, well, if I were God, I would do it this way. So we form God in our own imagination to fit what we think He should do, rather than who He is, and that He is all wise and all knowing. Amen. He created us. I think the Creator knows more than the creation. I mean, we would agree He's wiser, He's smarter than we are. Amen. So we need to not be wise in our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him and seek His will in all that we do. You know, seek the Lord always. Call upon His name. And He is with us. He is a good Father. And aren't you glad that we have a friend in Jesus? Aren't you glad? I was kind of thinking on that song this morning, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and how precious it is, those times we can have with the Lord, you know, to where we can take off this burden of care that the world would throw on us, you know, and all the noise and all the confusion and even all of the stuff that's going on in the internet, you know, and the media. We have to really guard, you know, ourselves and guard our hearts. Because it's very easy to get caught up in this, the funk of all that, you know. And so we have a refuge in the Lord. We have a place of quiet rest. And that's near the heart of God. So I'm so thankful that I can go to my Father, amen. And I can lay it all down. And I can rest in Him, you know. And He recalibrates us, if you will. Amen. He is the standard. Amen. And so we want to rest in Him in His presence. And it's in that quietness often that we're hearing the voice of the Lord. It's not in all the fray and the noise, but it's in the quietness and in the times of resting in His presence where He speaks, often through that still small voice. God wants to speak to us. Did you know that? We're good at talking to God, aren't we? I am. You know, I can bring out the list and go on and on and on and on and on. But God's saying, okay, when are you going to allow me to speak to you? Lord, I'm open right now because I know I need to hear from you. So, Lord, please speak to us this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts that we can understand the truth. Sow your truth into our hearts, Lord, with the understanding of it, that our hearts will be converted to you. Lord, we pray that you would drive out of us all darkness, eliminate all darkness from our lives, and make us completely whole in you. In Jesus' name. You know, God wants to set every captive free. He wants us to conquer every demonic or satanic opposition in our lives. He wants us to not tolerate evil any longer. As a child of God, we are walking in the light. God has authorized us to go in His name, amen, and to destroy the works of the devil. And did you know that you have been authorized? If you're in Christ, you've been authorized to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. You've been authorized to go into, if you will, your promise of rest, your promised land, amen, and tell them giants to get out of your way. Because it's God's plan, amen, for you to walk in freedom from all of your enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not to be bound by anything or anyone. We're free people in the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So we need to enforce that freedom. We need to walk in that freedom. Amen. And we don't allow the enemy to push us around any longer. If you're in Christ, amen, if His Spirit is within you, then you as a son, as a daughter, under His authority, under His roof, have the authority now to kick the devil out. Amen? Amen. To get him out of your house, out of your head, out of your life. Because God wants freedom for His people. Amen. He wants healing and deliverance for His people. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I'm no longer a slave to sin or fear. I am a child of God. Title of the message is True Identity, Part 2. True Identity. Because Jesus was both God and man, He could die as a substitute for man. So Jesus basically became the Son of Man that we as sons of man might become sons of God. Jesus became a Son of Man that we as sons of men, right, could become sons of God. You see that? God became a man to redeem us and to bring us back into fellowship, right, standing with Him. So we could be then sons of God through the new birth. So a slave cannot be a son. Only a son can be an heir, right, with full rights. So as long as we were slaves under sin, right, in Adam, we could not be sons of God. So you must be born again. That's the beginning point. Some people are trying to build on the old foundation. They're not even saved yet. They're not born again yet. And they're just adding information to the old thing. Are you hearing me? The word comes, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So you need to sit and listen to the word of God, but you need to let it sink in, and you need to open your heart, and you need to receive the word of God. When you receive the word of God, you are receiving Him who is the word of God. You cannot say, "I receive Jesus," and reject His word. People say, "Well, I received Jesus." No, did you receive Him? If you received Him, it means you received His word, because He is the word. So Christ frees us from the bondage, right, of sin and death in order to bring us into sonship. Adoption in Roman culture is different from that in our modern way of thinking. Because if we think of adoption, we're usually thinking about taking someone else's child, right, to be our own. But here adoption means being placed into the position of a mature son, with all the privileges and responsibilities of that position. All right? So if you are a son of God, if you have been born again, then you are free from bondage to the law. Amen? Which is good and holy, but in ourselves we're incapable of living up to its standard. Christ, amen, who is the law, if you will, the word that became flesh, came and became just like us, amen, without sin, fulfilled all the righteous requirements of that law, amen. And then God, in His mercy, laid those sins that we had committed upon Jesus, amen, so that we could be set free from the sins that we'd committed under Adam. Are you hearing me? Once we're forgiven, once we're cleansed, amen, now God has a temple. He has a place where He will dwell by His Holy Spirit. Once you're cleansed, then God comes to dwell within our hearts. And when He comes to dwell within us, we receive a new identity. We become sons and daughters, if you will. Now we can call upon our Father, not as a slave that has no rights and privileges, but as a son, a mature son, with full rights and responsibilities in the new creation. Isn't that an amazing thing that God has done for us and is making available to whoever would come to Christ in repentance and faith? So in Christ, we're adopted into God's family as sons and daughters. In Galatians 4:6, it says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, right? And that is a combination of Aramaic and Greek words for father. And no slave could address the head of a family in this fashion. It was reserved for the members of the family only. So it's very personal. We have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father when you're born of Him. Are you hearing me? And there's a new identity. The Spirit creates that awareness in us of sonship. All right, so now we can address God as dearest Father. Verse 7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So I'm setting a foundation here for other things that I'm going to be teaching this morning. But I want us to kind of go back and rehearse some of these things and be reminded of these things. All right, because it's important that we build on the right foundation, the foundation of truth. Christ himself being, right, our foundation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Amen. And only in him is there salvation. You see, all the other religions teach works, effort to make yourself better, to improve yourself to hopefully a degree that now you are acceptable to God. And so they live their entire lives in bondage and even fear of death, not knowing if they have achieved that standard of righteousness that maybe others have imposed upon them or that they imposed upon themselves. Because without the Lord, we set our own standards, don't we? So our new identity in Christ is that of sons and not slaves under sin. And we have to see ourselves as a son and not a slave. We need to see ourselves as having been separated in Christ from the sin nature. So if we are sons, that means that in Christ, all that God has is ours. It is the Father's good pleasure, he said, to give you the kingdom. In Christ, all that God has is ours. Why? Because we are heirs of God in Christ. But you must be in Christ. So our minds can misinterpret the work of Christ as a fix. You know what I'm saying? For an ongoing condition of depravity. Rather than a separation or circumcision from the sin nature itself. So if a person says, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace, what do you mean by that? Do you mean that you're still a sinner by identity or that you still sin? Because if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. Amen? But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But by identity in the new creation, we are not slaves under sin any longer. But we are sons with full rights and responsibilities in the kingdom of our God. Amen. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become, or the authority to become, the sons of God. To them that believe on his name. All right. So stay with me here because we're going somewhere. Lord, help me. So Colossians 2:11, here it is. In him, that means in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. By putting, listen, off the body of the sins of the flesh. A separation has taken place when you're born again. Come on. You are separated now unto Christ. Circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. No longer a sinner in the sense of identity, but a son who has the capacity, if he chooses to, sin. But if we sin, we're actually living outside of our new character or nature. It's not who we are any longer. Is that making sense? So in Christ, we're no longer living from the position of a sinner, though we do sin at times, but we now live from the exalted position of sons of God through the new birth in Christ. So we're supposed to be living now from the position of being a son, all right, who has been liberated from the power of sin. In Christ, I am no longer in Adam, in that is my identity. That is the old man. That is the old nature. I have died with Christ. Amen. And I've been raised to new life. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not a patch up. I'm not an improvement. Come on. But a new creation. And so I'm supposed to live from that new identity and who I am now in the new creation. And I do so by putting my faith in what God has said, what He has promised. And if my mind does not agree with that, I have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Are you hearing me? It's a truth war, isn't it? Remember, God told the Israelites to go in and possess the land. And in order to do that, they had to drive out the giants. Huh? Has anybody beside myself dealt with some giants along the way? Are you dealing with some giants maybe in your mind, in your situation where you live, and whatever it might be? There are enemies, and the warfare is real, is it not? Yeah. But listen to what he said, what Joshua said in Numbers 14:6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land." So sometimes we can understand that, yeah, I know that God wants me to have an abundant life. God wants me to walk in freedom. God wants me to have peace and joy, amen, righteousness and the Holy Spirit. Okay, we understand that. But there's a difference between understanding something and something that you should be possessing and actually possessing it. And they were able to possess it because God had given it to them by promise, that it was already theirs, but they had to go and take it. And He would be with them if they would walk it out. And then He said in verse 8, "If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." Now, how would the Lord delight in them? How many know that God delights in those who trust Him? Those who believe His word. He delights in those who are true believers. They're not trusting in themselves, all right, to be righteous, but they're trusting in Him who can alone make us righteous. My righteousness is not based upon what I do, but based upon what Christ has done for me and made available to me freely through His grace that I receive by faith in the promise that God will impute to me righteousness if I simply by faith trust in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And what He did, and not what I can do. Stay with me, because we're going somewhere with this. Hallelujah. No, actually not. Yeah, maybe I am. I don't know. But listen to what he said in verse 9. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people." Now, think about it. God, who knows all things, who has all power, told them, "Listen, I'm giving you a land. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's yours, but you got to go in and possess it, and you got to drive out the giants." So what is he saying? Don't rebel against the word of the Lord. Don't doubt God. Only believe and you will see the glory of God. You will see the goodness of God. You believe God can do it? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Amen? Nothing is impossible with Him. If it's a promise, He's going to back it up. And so He said, for they are our bread. He's saying, listen, we're going to eat them for lunch because God has given it to us. He's given us the land. All right. That's all they needed to know is God says it's yours. Go take it. Don't look at the way things appear from your natural understanding or reasoning, because if we live from sight, often, amen, the giant will look bigger than he actually is. How many know the giant that you face is not bigger than your God? Your God has overcome, amen, the enemy of your soul. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has all authority, amen, and He is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. So He says the Lord is with us. Amen. And the enemy said their protection has what? Departed from them. Do you understand what a bluff is? Do you know the enemy is a bluffer? He's trying to scare you. He's trying to frighten you. He's trying to get us into fear. He's trying to get us to doubt who we are in Christ and the authority we have in Christ, amen, who God is in our lives, amen. Because if we start to bow down to fear, amen, well, we're putting our faith in Him now, and so the Lord. He said, listen, their protection has departed from them. Now, they're thinking, wow, we're in trouble. There's giants in the land. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They said, we can do it. Because God has given it to us. Amen. And remember when they went into the wall and Rahab the harlot was there. They said, oh, the fear of your God has fallen on us all. They were actually terrified because they had heard of the reports of how God had moved so mightily in Israel. Amen. And in their deliverance and all that. And so all the time they're thinking, oh, my word, look at the giants. Listen, the people in the land were terrified of the people of God. Now listen, the people of the land represent the demonic hordes, amen, that we're dealing with. All right, the enemy. All right, we see a type of that. And so the enemy actually, listen, is afraid of those who know who they are in Christ, who know the authority that they have, who believe in their God. Are you hearing me? But he wants to try to punk you out. He wants to try to get you into fear. Amen. So you'll shrink back. Amen. And as long as we are, come on, believing in the fear, we're not going to have confidence. Because faith, in a lot of ways, is the opposite of fear. Amen. Faith is saying we can do this through Christ. We can take the land. We can enter into our freedom. I can be free from this oppression. I can be free from this depression. I can be free from everything demonic. Are you hearing me? Because Christ is Lord indeed. And He has authorized me to enforce in my life the victory that He's already overcome. Because He has overcome the world. Hallelujah. The Lord has given us His word. That we can have complete freedom from all our spiritual enemies. Through the Lord, through Christ, who enables us to do so. So once again, God wants us to live from the reality of who we are in Christ as sons and daughters. 1 Corinthians 1:30 again, but of Him, of God, right, the Father, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. I have wisdom from God. Why? Because I have Christ who is my wisdom. All right? I have righteousness. He's righteousness. Sanctification. Redemption. All that I have need of is freely given to me in Christ. But what you believe will determine how you live your life. Righteousness is our birthright in Christ Jesus. By virtue of the new birth. Amen. and not something we can achieve. This is something we've got to understand. This is the problem. We struggle sometimes trying to be good, trying to be holy. Amen? And falling over and over again. Why? Because God wants to take us to the place where we realize apart from Him we can do nothing. It's in Christ alone, my faith in Christ alone. Christ is the victory. My faith in Him is the victory that overcomes the world. My God is, hallelujah, highly exalted. Amen. He is on the throne of His glory. He has been given the name above all names. Jesus Christ, amen, has overcome the enemy of our soul. Hallelujah. And He has liberated us and brought us into sonship through His own shed blood on the cross. Hallelujah. Having, Lord, taken the enmity away. Amen. Taken the scourge of sin away. Delivering us from its power. Separating us unto Him. Hallelujah. As a new creation. And we still have that old sin nature, but it's like dragging away a corpse around with us. You know what I'm saying? That other part of you that you hate. You know what I'm talking about? That part that you hate. Amen. That's the part you have to say. I said it last week, but this is very spiritual, so hang on. It's like whack-a-mole. When he tries to stick his ugly head up, you just whack him back down. Are you hearing me, somebody? Not tolerating that voice. Shut up. Sit down. You're dead. I'm dead to you. I'm dead to sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a son. Amen. And as a son, I am free. Amen. I have access to my Father's throne. Everything I have need of is in Him. Amen. If I'm hungry, I go to Him and eat. If I'm thirsty, I go to Him and drink. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. And we have access through the blood of Jesus into His throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for that. So righteousness is our birthright. And we're supposed to be living, listen, from the finished work of Christ. We live from that finished work. So your freedom from every sinful habit and all satanic bondage is yours to possess in Christ. But you must possess it by faith in the power of God. Do you see that? You can look at your freedom. You can be staring at the promised land and say, yeah, it's a good place. Looks like a really good place over there. Amen? Well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit here and rot? Or are you going to get up and do something? Hey, there's a giant in my way. Well, if the promise belongs to you, why are you tolerating the giant? Why are you tolerating that besetting sin? Why are you listening to that giant? Amen? Listen to that temptation. You need to take authority and refuse to bow down to that voice anymore. Amen? Because the power of sin in Christ has been broken. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son. So you may be tempted to think that you can achieve, hear me, a certain standard of right living. Hear it. That will please the Lord and therefore make you acceptable to Him. We may be tempted to believe we can achieve a certain standard of living that will please the Lord and make us acceptable to Him. Now, no. Does God want us to be holy? Does He want us to live right? Absolutely. But do you understand that very thinking sometimes is what's keeping us bound up? Because instead of living from the reality of who we are in the new creation as sons and daughters who have been circumcised, set apart unto God, set free from the power of sin and Satan. Amen. We're trying to achieve something that God has already done for us and on our behalf. So we live from the place of being forgiven. We live from the place of being already reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, amen, and our confidence in the promise of God and not in our ability to be good. See, the world is trying to be good in its own standard of understanding and righteousness, you know. Well, to me, this is good, but maybe your goodness is doing this over here. Are you hearing me? some people will say, well, to me, this is what God's like. And another person, well, to me, God is like this. Well, you know, the problem is that we don't often understand the heart of the Father. And so we make an assessment of God based upon our human understanding and our human experiences. That means, however it was when we grew up, the authorities in our lives often shape the way we view God. Is that making sense? If my authorities in life were like this, then I'm prone to think in my natural reasoning, based upon experience, that that must be what God is like, because He's the ultimate authority. Hear me. And that's why we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We need to come to a true saving knowledge of who He is. God does not fit in our box, as you've heard it said. Come on. He doesn't fit into our opinion. He doesn't conform to us. We are to conform to Him. I want to know God. That's our quest, is to know Him, to know Him personally, to know who He really is, and not what my mind would tell me, but what the Holy Spirit would reveal to me, the Spirit of truth, to know Him in truth. My God is holy. My God does not wink at sin. My God is not okay with sin. Are you hearing me? I mean, people want to justify themselves based upon their own standard of righteousness rather than the righteousness of Christ. God is perfect. God is holy. And therefore, we must be holy. But in ourselves, we do not have the ability to live holy. And so God, amen, in His mercy, amen, took our place. Amen. He took care of that sin problem. Amen. He broke the power of that sin in our lives. And now we are free, come on, to serve God, free of condemnation, guilt, and shame. Because my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I'm not trusting in myself to be good. When God converts the heart, you will live good, because a tree is known by its fruit. And when you are truly the planting of the Lord, you will produce the righteousness which is of Christ. Amen. You will desire the things He desires. You'll hate the things that He hates. When you're born again, you are a new creation. You can no longer live comfortably in your sin. Amen. So don't be deceived. Amen. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith or not, that Christ is in you. Make sure. See, if we could achieve that standard, all right, whatever the standard might be that we set for ourselves as being good enough, then the cross of Christ would have been unnecessary. But Jesus achieved that righteousness for us. Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And we may be a law unto ourselves. Are you hearing me? God wants us to live from that new identity as sons and daughters who have already been liberated from the power of sin. In Christ, you see, if the devil can convince you that you're just a sinner and you have to live a depraved life and then continually go back and ask God to forgive you, you see, your focus is on you and not on Christ and His righteousness. You're not understanding who you are in the new identity. You're not living according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. He sets us free so we can walk in freedom now, amen, and serve the Lord. So here it is. You guys okay? God does not want us living in a performance-based approach to our relationship with Him. He wants us to rest in the work He accomplished for us at the cross and to rely upon Him for the grace to defeat every spiritual enemy and to advance His kingdom. He wants us to live from the place of having been forgiven and accepted by him because of Christ's sacrifice. Where's the focus? It's on Christ, him crucified. If our faith is not in Christ alone, then we may be tempted to seek justification by what we do. We may seek to be justified by what we're doing. Come on. Rather than what Christ has done for us. Amen. You get caught up in a religious spirit. You see, and people that operate in a religious spirit are usually very judgmental and comparing themselves to others. And God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Are you hearing me? You see, the grace we give ourselves cannot save us. Now, I was leading up to this point. This is really what I want us to focus on this morning. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the lost son. It's called the prodigal son. But there were two sons who were going in opposite directions in life. Okay? And so the contrast was notably different between the two. One son, as you recall, squandered his inheritance with loose living. He got his inheritance and he went out into the world. All right. And he just blew it all. All right. He ends up in a hog pen. The other son loyally served his father with years of faithful service. But hear it. Both sons misunderstood their father's heart. And I have been both of these sons, by the way. I've misunderstood the father's heart. The prodigal son, the one son, thought he had lost his place in his father's heart by the wrong things he had done. Hear it. Luke 15:18. He said, I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He was repentant. He was willing to make it right. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants, slave. And the other son, the loyal son, thought he had earned a place in his father's heart by all the right things he had done. In Luke 15:29, so he answered and said to his father, Lo, these years, many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat and that I might make merry with my friends, because remember he had given a celebration for the son that was lost. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. You see, the second son misunderstood his father's heart. In his self-righteousness, he compared himself to his brother. He thought he could earn favor with the father based upon his performance. Oh, boy. Has anybody beside myself been there? He wasn't accepted by the father based upon his performance. That's the thing. But because he was a son. We want our children to do well, don't we? They represent us. We want to be proud of our children and say, look what such a fine job Johnny's doing here. Amen. And when he acts up, you think, man, you're bringing disgrace on the name. Amen. And sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we're even angry at our children, amen, because of their behavior. But still, if they're our children, come on, somebody. You still love your child. And this is the thing. You must be in Christ. You must be born again. You must become a new creation. You must be a son. Amen. When you come into this new creation, hallelujah, you're no longer a slave and you're no longer a hired servant, but you're an heir. And even though he had squandered and he'd walked away, he was a backslider. The Father had mercy on him. We don't want to grieve our father, do we? Because we love him. They both misunderstood their identity. And they thought like slaves. Even though they were sons, they had a slave mentality and believed they would be accepted by the Father based upon how well they did. The Father never stopped loving them both. The first son decided to return home, fully expecting to be treated as a hired servant. You know, sometimes we live like that too, because we look at how rotten we were before and how could God ever accept me? You know, I'll at least try the rest of my life to do things to please him, so hopefully he'll like me a little more. How many know that God loved you first? While we were yet in sin, Christ died. Amen. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sick. He came for those who knew they didn't make the grade and couldn't make the grade because of who we were naturally is worse than anything we ever did. In Luke 15:20, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, this is the first son, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Listen. Some people remain in a backslidden condition because they believe that their failures have somehow disqualified them from ever being acceptable to the Lord. While it is true that sin separates us from God, God in his mercy has made a way through the blood of his Son to make us right with him again. Would you bow your heads this morning? I may be speaking to somebody here this morning that you have been away. You've been away from the Lord for a long time now. And you want to get it right. You want to come back. Somehow you feel like you're just not worthy. But listen, it was because of the mercy of God that Jesus came to pay the price for the sins that we committed. He paid the price that we deserve to pay. Jesus loved you that much that even when you were an enemy to him, he died for you that you might be brought back into relationship with him, that you might be restored to your position as a son in the Father's house with full rights and responsibilities. God wants you simply to return. As this one son returned, expecting to be a hired servant, the father embraced him and he called him son and rejoiced that his son, who was once dead, is now alive again. Right where you're at today, it's time for you to come back to your father and let him know, Father, I have sinned against you and I'm asking you to forgive me. For all of my sins, I'm asking you to blot out all of my transgressions, to purge all of my iniquities. Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse my heart. And Lord, I'm asking you to restore me to right standing with you again. Through the blood of Jesus, I come and I ask you, Lord, to have your way. I invite you back into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me and restore me. I want to have fellowship with you again. Lord, I want to burn for you again. Lord, I want to have a holy passion again, a burning passion for you. So restore me today, Lord. Other people believe, because they've lived exemplary lives, that somehow that merits God's favor and blessing. It is true that God honors those who honor him. But we need to remember, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast." Today, Lord, forgive us, Lord, of any self-righteousness, of any spiritual pride in our accomplishments, as though somehow we were able to do these things without you. Lord, we know that if there are any accomplishments, if there are any victories in our lives, it's because of you. It's because of your grace and because of your mercy. We are who we are today. We acknowledge you and we rejoice in you today, Lord. We make our boast in you, God. For you are the one who has overcome on our behalf. You're the one who sets us free. If you've never known, really known the love of the Father, he invites you to come to him today to be saved and to become a son of God. I just want to ask that every head would be bowed right now. And if you're here today and you'd be honest enough to say, you know, I've been listening to this message and I've been listening to a lot of messages over the years, but today I've had an awareness, an understanding, an awakening that I have not understood the Father's heart. Would you just raise your hand? I want to see your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Another one. If you've never known the love of the Father, are you here today and you said, I've really never known this true salvation of the Lord, but I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have already overcome the enemy of our soul, that you have destroyed him, Lord. You have stripped him of his armor. Lord God, you have made an open show of him, triumphing over him in the cross. Jesus, we declare that you are Lord today in this house. And Satan, you have no authority here. Your power has already been canceled out. It's already been broken. Hallelujah, in God's people. We're here now to enforce that victory, Lord, by faith in your name. As we pray right now, Lord, we're asking that you'd break that. Hallelujah.